Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
In his book, Dispelling the Myths of Abortion History, Villanova Law School professor Joseph Della Pena systematically exposes the legions of lies, legal, historical, social, and otherwise, on which Roe v. Wade rests. Among Professor Della Pena's main points are, first, contrary to Justice Harry Blackmun's extensive tutorial on the history of abortion that was included in the Roe opinion, abortion was not commonly practiced through the last few thousand years. Not the least of the reasons was because abortion methods used before about 1900 fell into two sometimes overlapping categories, either ineffective and or injurious or fatal to the mother. Second, also contrary to Justice Blackmun's version of history, abortion was not a liberty women were free to enjoy. Abortion was, in fact, a crime under English common law and in ecclesiastical courts in England from at least the 14th century. Third, stringent state laws enacted in the 19th century to codify the common law crime of abortion were aimed at protecting the lives of unborn children at even the earliest stage of pregnancy. Blackmun, however, would have us believe that these laws were enacted to protect women's lives and health. This allowed him to argue the laws no longer served any purpose, since, in 1973, abortion was supposedly safe for women, and therefore the laws could be overturned. Naturally, in a book of 1,300 pages, Della Pena has plenty of ink and paper to debunk the hundreds of fascinating myths and conceptions which have been paraded around the public square as infallible truths for far too long. Let's take a look at a few of the myths Professor Della Pena destroys. First, that Roe v. Wade was the inevitable outcome of an ongoing campaign at the state level in the late 1960s and early 1970s to weaken legal protections for unborn children. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg still advocates this viewpoint. She has written in a Law Review article, quote, "The political process was moving in the early 1970s, not swiftly enough for advocates of quick, complete change, but majoritarian institutions were listening and acting." The fact is that prior to 1967, one state had allowed abortion for rape or incest, and one for health. Between 1967 and 1970, 12 states added a few exceptions to their laws banning all abortions except where the mother's life was endangered. They typically allowed abortion in the case of rape, incest, or if the child was disabled, or if the mother's health was at risk. Only four states, Alaska, Hawaii, Washington, and New York, plus the District of Columbia, repealed virtually all restrictions on abortion. However, 31 states allowed abortion only to save the life of the mother. The repeal statutes caused tremendous legislative and public controversy. In 1970, the New York statute passed by one vote, but in 1971, the legislature significantly tightened the abortion law. And one year later, the legislature voted to repeal the 1970 abortion law and reinstate severe restrictions on abortion, even early in pregnancy. The measure passed both houses only to be vetoed after the session ended by Governor Nelson Rockefeller. Roe v. Wade intervened to moot any further action by New York lawmakers. New York was not the only state opposed to the liberalization trend. No abortion reform or repeal statutes were enacted in the U.S. in 1971. By 1973, the legislative drive to reform and or repeal abortion laws had completely stalled. Several reform bills were soundly defeated. Elected officials who opposed the repeal protection of abortion laws were elected in 1972 by wide margins in Connecticut, Massachusetts, Michigan, New York, North Dakota, and Pennsylvania. Obviously, abortion on demand throughout pregnancy, a la Roe, was not a legal inevitability. Please be sure to join me tomorrow here on Pro-Life Perspective as we look at some other myths Professor Della Pena destroys in his book. As always, we've posted a number of resource links at prolifeperspective.com for you to explore in the meantime.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.